And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. I'm reading from Mark chapter 4. Then he taught them many things by parables, and he said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root in it, withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears, let him hear." I read that slowly because it's difficult to say. But it's worth repeating. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, that those who hear the word accept it and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Then he said, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It's like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it's sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs, and shoots out large branches, so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade." And with many such parables he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now that when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. but he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" It's good to read the Word of God, isn't it? I encouraged myself this morning looking at that scripture which says, you know, be diligent in reading the Word of God. So thanks so much, Paul and Elizabeth. Carol, singing, it's great to see you singing. Thank you for pushing through. Pray that God has already touched many folk here. It's good to be reminded that it's not a passive thing, our worship. I was speaking to somebody on Friday. I went to a wedding on Friday, and this guy many years ago, I encouraged him to pick up his guitar, and we was leading worship with all the Christians in Marlow. And right now he's going to a church where they don't have any worship at all, seemingly. And I said, "Oh, you must miss that." And he said, "Well, you know, not all singing is worship, and not all worship is singing." So it's good to be reminded of that. I think Kristen Forster said to me the other day, you know, that we usually, or did he say it here? We often start worship in the flesh, but as we press in, then we switch and we start to worship in the spirit. And that's important. Nothing to do with what I'm going to speak about. But it's good to read the word. And that was Mark chapter 4. So thanks, folks. You never know what to expect, do you, when you come here? That's exciting. And scary sometimes. So, Mark chapter 4. It's great doing a series, and I am doing a series, occasional series. Maidenhead is also studying the book of Mark. They're up to about chapter 20 or 21 or something, I think. But since Christmas, we've got to Mark chapter 4. The only problem is it's 7 weeks since I last spoke, when that was when we had a look at Mark chapter 3, and you can forget in that time some of what we read. So I'm sorry about that. I'm not going to read it all again. But I did notice here, as we started reading in Mark chapter 4, something that harked back to me in Mark 3 and verse 9. You remember, he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready for him because of the multitude, lest they should crush him. And here, in chapter 4, we see him getting into the boat and speaking to the multitudes. Isn't it great that Jesus is prepared for every eventuality, every situation he faced with? He is prepared for the situations that we have today. He's not fazed by them, frightened by them, overwhelmed by them. He is ready in his grace and mercy to deal with them today. And maybe he's already started that process. But I pray that nobody will leave this place without having a fresh touch from our amazing Jesus. Father, that is my prayer. Lord, that you would come and meet with us afresh today. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Mark chapter 4 contains 3 of the 8 major parables that Jesus used to speak about his favourite subject, which is the kingdom of God. And I spoke last year, back in July, I think it was, about... I know it was, because I checked it. And the message is still on the website, actually, if anybody wants to hear it. I spoke about parables and said that parables have a specific function. They weren't there just to illustrate Jesus's teaching with picture words. They was not there either to serve as vehicles for revealing truth, although clearly they do reveal truth, and the way that they're assembled in Mark chapter 4, they reveal a lot of truth. I said that parables are told as a means of drawing out a response from those that hear them, told to capture the hearer's attention and to bring them up short about their own actions or cause them to respond in some way to Jesus and his ministry. And Jesus kindly interprets the parable of the sower for his disciples, and Mark tells us that this is the key to understanding the rest of them. And Jesus gives them the points of reference. The four kinds of soil are like the four kinds of responses to the proclamation of the kingdom. But the point of the parable is the urgency of the hour. Take heed how you hear. You see, the word is being sown. The good news of the kingdom, the joy of forgiveness, and the call to enjoy discipleship. It's here now, Jesus is saying. So listen, take heed, be fruitful. Develop that soil in your own heart that you might be fruitful. And most of these parables are addressed to the multitude as potential disciples. And Jesus is saying to them, as he says to us today, the kingdom has already come. There's more to come, but God's hour is at hand. Grab hold of it while you can. Start living today in the joy of it. Now, I've got to say that I felt a bit intimidated as I read Mark chapter 4. I mean, there's been so much spoken, hasn't there, about the parable of the sower. And so I asked God, you know, well, okay, well, it's a big chapter. You know, we're trying to do one chapter at a time, but what do you want me to say about it? And I felt that he wanted me to speak about verse 21, which says, also he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set upon a lampstand? Now look, baskets, you know, beds, how can I speak about that? You know, what do you want me to say, Lord? So I got on the phone to him. You know his number, of course. 537-333. It's not quite so memorable, is it? I mean, the old-fashioned dialing telephone dials, you know, people used to say the name and the number, you know, J-E-R 333. Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I'm sure that's everybody knows that one, but call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Well, that's what I did. And that's what he did. He gave me a picture of a great and mighty thing. And if we could have slide one, you'll see what that was. Show me a lighthouse. In fact, I think he gave me a modern day parable, because as I started to think about what that had to do with this message, you know, he started to reveal a number of things about lighthouses that I think we can learn from. Forget the old 3-point sermon, this has got rather more than that. And the first thing I thought about the lighthouse was it's painted in distinctive colours. You wouldn't miss them. And I believe that is how God would have us to be. Slide two. If you press down. Yeah. There you go. And slide three. Wouldn't it be easier if every Christian sort of dressed in red and white stripes? I couldn't quite find red and white stripes for the family there, but I got as close as I could, really. Wouldn't it make life easier? Oh, it's okay, you know, she's got the stripes on. We can talk to her, she's okay. Oh, look, they're not dressed in red and white stripes. Where's my Bible? So that I... Oh, Julie's dressed in black, in red and white stripes. So it's okay. We can all talk to Julie. I don't know about anybody else. Where's the Bible? We'll bash them over the head with it. And that's not, of course, what I think we need to do. But rather, what I felt God was saying in this is that we don't want to merge into the background. We don't want to keep a low profile, pretend we're one of the gang, you know, when perhaps bad words are spoken and bad things are being planned. And of course, there's been a lot of publicity recently where Christians have been suspended for jobs for saying what they believe to other people, believing, you know, that it was a personal, private conversation, and somehow it's got to the authorities and have been laid off and sacked, and persecution is increasing. Even in the UK, where our Queen has the title Defender of the Faith. But Paul said that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So let's not be surprised, and let's not hide our colours either. We'll have the next slide. The next thing, you know, that I thought about Lighthouse was that its light is visible from every direction. You know, it's got no hidden corners. It's not one life on a Sunday, you know, when we come to the meetings and then going out and living a different life for the rest of the week. But rather, slide five, WYSIWYG. What's that mean, Paul? WYSIWYG? Absolutely right. What you see is what you get. Even when no one is looking. It's a computer term, you see. I thought Paul would have known that. Even when things are starting to go wrong around us, what you see is what you get. We need to watch what we say about people, being nice to them and speaking out about them behind their back, because people are watching. People are listening, and they're checking up on us, you know, to make sure that our lives match our words. And there are so many opportunities around, aren't there, to compromise our standards and moral behaviour. Just don't flick through the TV channels late at night. Don't open that suspect email. You know, we need to be people of the light. Jesus tells us to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Slide six. Lighthouses are usually placed in extremely hazardous situations. So let us not be surprised when we find ourselves on the front line. You know, Jesus was criticised, wasn't he, for being a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Who knows that people like that probably didn't live in the nicest part of the town. They probably didn't keep the nicest company. And Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We're called to go to the sick, the marginalised, the needy, the unlovely, whoever and wherever they are. Ted Piker in High Wycombe is doing that in the circumstances that are around him. You can ask Wisdom, he's been out there with him, haven't you? Going up to groups of young people on the street corners, drinking and whatever they're doing. Sorry? Ted's not drinking. Absolutely right. Thank you, Wisdom. But it's great. When Ted is here, church is here, is what the young people say. So who are those in your area that you know Jesus is calling, reaching out to? Where can we connect with a refugee? Where can we connect with the homeless? And just as I sort of wrote that, I thought, well, what about Shock? You know, Slough Homeless, our concern. And I know that some of you are aware of that organisation and perhaps even have donated clothes in the past to Shock, but they need help. I found it quite intimidating the day that I sort of drove in there, see lots of people hanging about outside, smoking, drinking, They're not allowed to do that inside, but it's great work that they're doing there. And that's just one example. Slide 7, please, Matt. Lighthouses serve to warn shipping off of dangerous rocks. God called Ezekiel to be a watchman on the walls, and he gave him a very serious commission. God said that if he gave Ezekiel a warning for somebody and he didn't give the warning to that person, then both that person and Ezekiel would die. But if Ezekiel gave him the warning and he didn't listen, but he didn't turn away from his wickedness, then that person would die, but Ezekiel would live. What would we do if God, we felt that God wanted to warn somebody about their dangerous behaviour? You know, I hope that we would tell them, but I mean, I can't speak for you. I don't know about you, but I sometimes even hesitate to deliver an encouraging word from God. And I'm sure I'm not alone in that. But you know what it's like, the argument that starts in your head. Well, that's me. You know, that's how I feel about that person. Well, that's what I'd like to be told. Or how about, well, that's just so corny. And in actual fact, I gave that word to somebody last week. It's hard enough sometimes to give an encouraging word. But what about when God speaks a word of warning to someone? Well, I think I'll hold that and weigh it, and maybe I'll give it to him later. Oh, I'll write it down and give it to him. Who knows? Tomorrow never comes. Now, I do think we do need to be sensitive in the way that we give these words. We mustn't expose people's private sins and fears to public scrutiny. And let's face it, sometimes God gives us words so that we can pray for people. We don't necessarily have to give them. But if God gives you a word, then let's make sure we deliver it. And if you're in doubt, call me alongside or one of the team. In fact, it's always a good idea to have somebody standing by when you give a prophetic word to somebody, isn't it? Somebody you trust can weigh the word that you've given. Somebody that cares for the person that you're giving it to. See, God in his grace is seeking to use each one of us. We heard that this morning about pushing in, using the gifts that God has given us. And God wants us to reach people with the good news of Jesus. For us to be that light. Let me just... Yeah. Slide 8. See, this is much nicer to talk about. Lighthouses can be a wonderfully welcoming sight to people returning home. And I'm so grateful to every one of you that's found a home in River Church Slough. I'm incredibly grateful to God for those here that have found faith since being here, and for every evidence of God's grace at work in your lives, for the forgiveness and healing that I can see in people's lives. And for that sense of growing in confidence in God's goodness. But there are many others who haven't yet found that. And maybe you know some of them. Maybe carrying hurts from the past, from past experiences, past situations, past relationships. And there are others probably that we haven't yet met. You know, there's a God-shaped slot, was it said that, in each person's heart that needs to see a welcome light shining on the horizon. And I'm so grateful that Paul said what he did about the Father's heart, as saying in the story of the prodigal son this morning. You see that so clearly, the Father's heart, don't you? Just looking out, oh, when's my boy going to come home? When's he coming? And then when he sees him, just abandons all dignity and just runs out and throws his arms around him, clothes him, puts shoes on his feet, and as Paul said, the best ring on his finger. You know, Jesus lamented over Jerusalem, and even those who persecuted God's messengers, the prophets, and how often, he said, I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. God wants to use each one of us here to be that welcoming light. Slide 9. Sometimes lighthouses can seem a lonely place. Those times when it seems as though the whole world is out having fun and you feel that you're the only one stuck at home, keeping an eye on the seasons and the climate changes, the only one that sees the dangers and the only one praying for protection for your family, for the church, for the nation. And God says he sees you. And he knows the pain you're carrying. Again, it's a word that Paul has already brought this morning. He is doing something about it. You've only got to read the book of Habakkuk to see. Maybe the help doesn't come in quite the way that we expect. But he is doing something about it. And God is your comforter. Let him come to you now, wrap you in his arms and call you his special child. His word to you is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is the God of all comfort. Receive his comfort now. Slide 10. Lighthouses can sometimes be very busy places, but other times, times of humdrum activity. But its operation is dependent on the constant alertness of the operator. And actually, many lighthouses today are operated remotely, but isn't that a word to wise as well? We need to be alert to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And you're probably thinking I've already spoken too much about lighthouses, but I just got a couple more if that's alright. Okay. Slide 11. Operation of the lighthouse is dependent on supplies from others. We need our brothers and sisters. Those times when our fuel is running low, our light is beginning to flicker a bit. And actually, those are often the times that we feel less inclined to pick up the phone and call anybody. It's easy when we're on top, but actually when you're starting to feel a bit down, it can be a bit more difficult, can't it? I hope you know who you would call when you get those times. If not, I hope you're coming to our weekend away on the 15th and 17th of May. And I know a number of you are. Because that's, keep saying, it's not going to be a time of heavy teaching and full on. It's going to be spiritual. I was going to say it's not going to be spiritual activity. It is spiritual. Everything is spiritual. But it'll be a chance to develop those friendships in meeting, not in meetings, but wrestling together, having a laugh, playing a game, doing a quiz. Where's our quiz master? Maybe even swimming if the weather's kind to us. Slide 12. Some lighthouses can only be reached by a boat from shore, and it can be a pretty risky business in a storm. And that brings us to the end of Mark 4 that we read about. And I felt God say, what are we afraid of? What am I afraid of? Jesus equated fear with a lack of faith. You see, Jesus had told his disciples, let's cross over to the other side. He'd said it. And yet when the storm came, the disciples feared they would drown. Okay, you know, we know there's an enemy at work. Actually, God doesn't always get his will done. That's why he told us to pray. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it is clear that the devil will deter us if he can. But God's word also says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I've quoted that a little bit out of context, but I believe that it's in accordance really with the rest of the word. God is able to strengthen us and enable us to do that which he's called us to do. What has Jesus told you to do together with him? See, God doesn't want us paralyzed by fear. Let's exercise our faith. Let's pray and commit our way to God, and let's get on and do it. Amen. So we've had a bit of fun this morning, I hope, looking at different lighthouses, and that's okay to have fun with God, isn't it? But I hope as well that something is in what I've said has touched you and might have resounded with you, encouraged you, perhaps even challenged you about how you're setting your lamp on a lampstand. Jesus said, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. Almost the last slide. Building lighthouses is a costly and risky business. And the next one. Jesus paid the ultimate price to build us into the people he created us to be. Cost him his life. Times are short, folk. There is a great work to be done. And together with God, we can do it.